Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on Iran Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the studio.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, we have been discussing some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei for several episodes, and we are going to continue on the very same subject. Sheikh Javid, and I'd like to start my question by this one. Somebody asked, I plan to move on to another city to live in there after 1 or 2 months and choose it as my city of residence or watan. Having not yet, settled in that city or town, can I say full prayers there on trips of even less than 10 days?
Right. Well, as long as he is not settled there to live, the prayer is broken. He should shorten his prayers. Mm. And she cannot fast there unless he decides to stay there for 10 days, in which case, of course, every traveler who stays in a place not his hometown must make his niyyah to offer full prayers and also observe fast.
Mm-hmm. But 1 or 2 months is not enough, I guess.
It's not enough, yes.
Choosing a city as city of residence, right?
At least
6 months.
6 months, yes. Uh-huh.
And not only the 6 months, there is another requirement, and that is actually to stay there for, how many days?
6 months is the minimum, okay? A number of days one should have stayed in a place in order for that place to be considered.
Stayed there continuously.
Continuously, yes.
Yes. Now, not coming and going, like to another city, for example.
Sometimes, okay, maybe because of some necessity or emergency, you might leave the city, but mm-hmm. you are decided that you will leave there.
Right. Okay. There'll be another question, Sheikh, and that is due to the heart surgery and special respiratory conditions. After that, this individual temporarily moved to a city with good weather for a year. And if the situation improves, this individual intends to return home.
Right.
Well, the question that this individual asks is that, is my spouse obligated to say her 4 rak'ah prayers full or in 2 rak'ah prayers in the temporary residence?
Well, although it does not have the ruling of watan, because that place where he has decided to settle or to leave for, let's say, for a temporary period of time, mm. is not considered to be, his watan. But if he intends to stay there for at least 1 year, he will not be considered a traveler there. And even without the intention of staying for 10 days, the prayer is full and the fast is valid.
Mm-hmm.
This is the opinion of His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei. I think the ruling with regards to traveling, first of all, I would like to ask our audience to read the rules regarding traveling in person, because there are some specific details which we cannot touch on mm. in this short period of time.
Mm.
And there are different scenarios which must be understood.
Mm-hmm.
So we are here to just elaborate on a few issues.
Yes.
Depending on the question we come to receive.
Mm, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on Iran Radio. Stay tuned.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javed, you know, when you go to the supermarket or some stores, you see that there's a difference between the purchase price and the sale price. All right? Well, and if you happen to buy, for example, a few of these products, then what is the criterion for calculating khums on them? If the estate, for example, in your possession more than 1 year. So is it the purchase price or the sale price? Which one is the criterion?
It is always the current price, the current market price. When your khums year sets in, because every individual who works and who has a stable source of income, the first day he starts working is the first day of his khums year. Mm-hmm. And when the next year arrives, and then on the same day he has to actually calculate his khums. And if he has got something which he bought and he did not use, for example, he bought something and he never used it, so he should look at the current market price of that commodity, that thing, see how much it costs. Okay, he should pay khums on the current market price of that thing. And khums is always 20% of the price. Yes, It is 1/5 of the. Actually, literally, khums means 1/5. So, but in more current English, we can use 20%, because 20% is the same as 1/5. Yes,
but 20% of what? Like the 20% original money he paid, or no, the current value.
Or the current value.
But the current value of the new products, new commodities, or no, second-hand one, because he's using it.
Okay, that's another thing. You know, if he used it, if he happened to use it within the first year, there's no khums on that. Khums is always paid on things which were never used within the first year. If it was used even for a short time within the first year, then khums is not applicable to it.
Yes, but even if he hasn't used it and he kept it actually for a rainy day, he like stored it somewhere, stashed it somewhere, and he or she hasn't used that commodity or product, then he cannot sell it out to the market, can he? Like at the same current value you're talking about, because they would accept it from him as secondhand.
Oh, secondhand in that sense.
Even if he hasn't used it.
Well, because probably the date is
old,
outdated.
Yes, outdated.
Yes, it could be. But okay, even though when we talk about the current market price, we consider the current price.
I see.
The price for which people demand it, which people buy it, okay? It is secondhand. It doesn't mean that it's used, okay? It's kept there in the house, but it was never used by the owner.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be sold at a lower price.
Yes.
At a kind of discount.
Yes. Yes?
So that price should be taken into consideration.
Yes, thank you very much. I have another question which is quite related to this and also in relation to khums, but in order to listen to it, you need to stay with us, and I'll ask that question after the break.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma وصل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on Iran Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Shachavit, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature, according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Shachavit, in which case or scenario should one pay khums on animals kept at home?
Right. Generally speaking, if we keep them to use their products, such as eggs, milk, wool, ourselves, they are not subject to khums, according to His Eminence. Of course, if the products themselves are not consumed by the end of the khums year, they are liable to khums. For example, if there are eggs not used, if there is milk, if there is wool, it is put aside and has not been used during the year, that individual has to pay khums from those products. But if we keep the animals to eat their meat ourselves or to raise and sell them, mm-hmm. sell whatever we have kept in the house, their khums must be paid every year. The khums should be paid on the animals. You know, the animals could be like lambs, very small animals.
Yes.
But then they grew up. Again, khums should be paid on the appreciation, or I'm not sure if this term is appropriate to use. Okay, the animal grows up and they also the prices increase mm-hmm. as they grow up. So the khums should be paid on the increased price, considering that maybe khums might have been paid on the original price of the lamb, okay? But the lamb grew up and the market price of those lambs also increased. So khums should be paid on the increase as well.
I see. If my khums year ends on February the 1st, but my salary is paid on, let's say, 28th of January, will khums to be paid actually on that? Which one?
Well, if it's spent by 5 days after the expiration of the khums year, it is not liable to khums, according to His Eminence, mm-hmm. Grand Ayatollah Khamenei. Also, saving some money for possible events is not liable to khums. If after paying khums, the remaining amount is not enough and the person's anxiety is not resolved, so it's not necessary to pay khums in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a caution, it's the matter of ihtiyat, to pay khums on the unused amount after the concern is resolved by receiving the new income.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws, on iranradio.ir. With me, Muhammad Jawad, the host of this program. We bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا